joyful. Alegre means happy. And we're going to talk about joy today in the house. Everyone say joy.
Joy.
Say it again, joy.
Joy.
And with that, let's pray. Father, I thank you for your presence in this place. You are already here, and we welcome you. We are so thankful. Your word says that where two or more people are gathered in your name, there you show up to be with them. And so we thank you that there are more than two people here and that we are gathered in your name. Hear us as we cry out to you. Minister to us through your word. We love you and we need you desperately. Father, there are some of us here who need a word from the living God, who need a touch from the living God. And I pray that by your spirit and through your word, you would open up our hearts and minister to us. We declare that our minds are alert, our ears are open to hear, and our hearts are ready to receive what you have for us today. And Lord, I ask that you would stand in this my body, that you would think with my mind and speak with my tongue. Say to us in this house those things that you would have us know in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There are very few Christmas traditions that I have that I personally love as much as the tradition of finding and cutting down with the family our own Christmas tree. I love doing that. And it's become a tradition in my family. It's something that, for those of you who knew Pastor Joanne, she introduced to our family. And when originally the idea came originally, I said, what, go somewhere and cut our own tree? Are you kidding me? Because I hadn't grown up with that. I didn't know. Yeah, that'd be great. I didn't know that was something that people did. And of course, in the family, when people would say, we will go and cut down the tree, you know that meant that I was going to go and cut down the tree, right? I was the one that was going to have to get down there. I was the one that was going to have to get a saw it off. But I love that tradition. And so this year, of course, some of you know, I've recently been married in May. And we're rejoicing, and this was going to be the first year where we could, as a family, and now as Amy and I, as a married and with family, the kids, go and cut down this tree. And so we went to cut down the tree, and it was that day that was like 60 degrees last week. Do you remember that day? It was like, it was like amazing. And so I'm going to tell you the story about what happened to me, during that whole process and event. But before I do that, I want to show you another glimpse of another family that was searching for the perfect Christmas tree. And sometimes things happen. So if you have that video, you can go ahead and play it. Thank you very much, Jason. Thank you, brother.
Yes.
I have a little more training to do, but that won't be a problem. Ready? I give you the Griswold Christmas tree.
You know, my in-laws were with me. So Amy's parents were with me. And I was trying to make a good impression. You know what I'm talking about? I'm trying to be that guy that goes out there. And Amy's family, my wife's family, are outdoorsy. All I will say about me is I like sofas and comfort. And so I'm not used to being outside. But in this, I love. And so I was trying to do everything right. The kids were having a great time. My daughter, Sarah, who's I'll be four here in a few days. She was happy and Daniel was happy. We got to the house. We were playing Christmas music. Amy had this DVD that plays a fireplace on your TV. Do you know what I'm talking about? That's like crazy, right? I mean, that's like, who does that?
I've been to houses before. I'm like, are you kidding me? Why? Why? That's so, so silly. We did that, okay? I'm like, yeah, put the fireplace on. Awesome. It was super cool. And so we had the fireplace going, the Christmas music. My in-laws were there, and the kids were decorating. We put the tree on its base in the stand, and we, you know, I cut out the outer thing, and we start putting all the ornaments and stuff on the tree. It was great. We said, hey, the tree needs water, so we poured water into the base. Everything is good. We got music. My in-laws are here. My wife is happy. My kids are happy. Life is good, you know what I'm saying? Because there's a part of me with Christmas, and especially with this event, I try to kind of bottle up a little bit of joy. Do you know what I'm talking about? I just try to kind of capture that Christmas joy, that Christmas feeling, and just bottle it up, and I wanted this day to be perfect. At some point, as we were finishing up getting the tree ready, someone said these fateful words: the tree looks a little bit crooked. And because I'm there, and my in-laws are there, and my wife, I want to make a good impression, hey, I'm going to go fix it. Da-da-da-da. Right? So I get down, and I start fiddling around with the tree trunk and start trying to figure out to make it. Okay, is it to the left? Is it to the right? How will it look? And all of a sudden, hallelujah, the tree just, and it was like a slow motion. I'm talking about, you know, when things happen, bad things happen in slow motion. It's like, you know, it actually just happens like this bump. But what you see is like, right? Sorry. That's how it felt. And all of a sudden, the tree just goes crash. It had all the ornaments on it. Ornaments start falling on the floor. One of them in particular, you know, one of those big crystal ornament things, just went. It's like an explosion, right? And all of us start jumping like in the movies. Like, you know, when there's an explosion, we're like. I'm just kidding. We didn't do that, but I just thought that would be fun. But no, but it explodes, and there's glass everywhere, and the tree had tipped, and the base of the tree tipped, and the base of the tree had a lot of water in it. Hallelujah. My in-laws are there. It's like pandemonium. These things are breaking. There's water now all over the floor. I have a wooden floor. Like, I'll get paper towels. And well, there's water on the carpet all over my jeans. I'm like, the joy has left the building. I'm trying to bottle up the joy, and it just. And the kids had to go upstairs because there was glass now on the floor. I didn't want the kids to cut their feet or anything. And my in-laws were being very kind, but it was one of those. Good trying, like, man, I'm trying to make a good impression. And you know what I have found in my life? That even when I try very hard to make things work, and when I'm trying to capture joy and hold on to joy, thank you. I'm not used to having this thing. I might have to stray and walk around. I'm trying to be nice for the recording, but we'll see. When I try to bottle up the joy, sometimes trees crash on me. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes things happen that are unexpected. And I have to decide in those moments, what is it that keeps my joy going on the inside? Is it that my circumstances are fine? Is it that the tree looks perfect, in-laws are happy, family's happy, everybody's good? And as long as everything is good, I got joy and I'm good. But as soon as the tree falls, then it's over, and I'm upset, and it's a different scenario. It's true in our lives, too, isn't it? Sometimes we work really hard at trying to have a great marriage or having a good family, or we work really hard trying to earn a little bit of money so our finances aren't in as great of a mess, right? But then all of a sudden something happens, the car engine goes, and I got to spend money on the car. I didn't have money. The tree falls in the middle of the living room, and there's water, and the joyful moment has disappeared, has gone. I want to talk to you today about the fact that I believe that God desires that you and I will experience true joy during this Christmas season. True joy that will not flee and fly away the second the Christmas tree falls. But a joy that will stay and that will maintain and will remain inside of us even when our circumstances aren't perfect, even when everything is not going perfectly well. Are you with me? We're going to look at the book of Luke chapter 2 today. Most of you should have fill-in notes close by. Just look at some of the seats next to you, and you should be able to find it. And we're going to look at the book of Luke together. How's your joy these days? You know, oftentimes people will come to me and say, I am sad or I am depressed because bad things are happening to me. Or they will say, I am happy, I am joyful because good things are happening to me. Are you with me? And that's normal. That's normal. But what we want to talk about today is a true joy that lasts no matter what is going on. I may be crying, I might be in a difficult situation, but the joy from God is staying with me because it's more powerful than just my circumstances. The definition of joy is a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. Joy is a feeling of great pleasure and happiness, right? It's joyful. You know what it is when something great happens. When you're watching the game and the Bills finally win. No Bills fans in the house?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry about that.
Just never win.
Yeah, okay, there you go, there you go. When your team finally wins or something goes right, you feel joy, right? Everyone say joy.
Joy.
You feel it. But if stuff happens, I remember I used to have a boss who would say when his team was the Giants, which is that's my team as well, so we've had our share of heartache as well. He says that when they would lose in a playoff game or something, he would literally grab his pillow and put his face in there, and he was not a follower of Jesus. So he would say, he would just scream as loudly as he could all kinds of wonderful words into the pillow. And that was his way of dealing with a loss, right? It's like some people are like, I know some families that say, I hope our team wins, because if our team doesn't win, Daddy's going to be mad and angry, and he's going to be mean to us. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And I don't want to be a daddy that is so fickle that if everything is not going right, because you know what happens? Here's the truth of the matter. What happens to you and to me is when we lose our joy and when we let other stuff get to us, the people that pay the price are the people that are closest to us. And it's a scary thought when the Buffalo Bills are in charge of your emotional health. That's an ugly picture, right? The scriptures say this. The Bible says that there was an angel from God that spoke to the shepherds in a field. Not to kings, not to the president, not to the Senate or the House, not to the prince who's been on the news now is getting married. Everybody's going crazy, right? Because the prince is getting married. Sorry, ladies. I didn't know that was a thing. It's like, all the women in the world know are sad. I'm like, okay, that's cool. Sorry. But this angel didn't come to the prince, didn't come to the high and mighty. He came to shepherds. Everyone say shepherds.
Shepherds.
He came to shepherds. Shepherds, and here's all that. They're normal people like you and me. They work normal jobs like you and me. And this angel shows up to these people and says, and the scripture says this, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy. Everyone say joy.
Joy.
For all the people. I believe that during this Christmas season, God desires for you and I to experience true joy, not just circumstantial joy. Amen? And I want to talk to you today about that. A couple of things on this particular verse that I think are interesting. It says, but the angel said to them, the vehicle that God chose to speak to the shepherds was a being called what? An angel. An angel. Throughout the scriptures, God has used angels to speak in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, and always they would have a message from God to the people. Are you with me? It was a message from God to the people, and he used angels to speak to the people. Now, God also uses other means of speaking to men and women in the Bible. God spoke sometimes from heaven to his kids directly. He spoke to Abraham that way. You're going to be blessed.
the land is going to be yours. All the nations in the world will be blessed because of you. God said that to Abraham. God spoke to Moses and spoke to him face to face in the temple. Spoke to him in Mount Sinai. Spoke a direct word. God doesn't always speak that way. I think that if he did speak like that to me, I'd be like, oh my goodness, it would be a scary thing, right? Anybody ever hear voices? I don't know about you. Last night, I just happened to be by myself in the house. My wife was out of town, and the kids were staying with the grandparents. And I could have swore I heard somebody at the door. And so I'm mindful. You know, this is a different situation. I don't usually hear the same sounds, but I'm mindful of who's at the door. It would have been a whole nother thing if all of a sudden I heard some voice from above say, Lewis, what are you doing? Stop watching that college football game and go to bed, for goodness sake. I should have done. The team I was cheering for lost, which happens a little bit too often. But God has chosen, he's spoken like that. God's also spoken through his prophets. Sometimes God will speak to a man or a woman. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
There are women prophets. Did you know that?
Yes.
In the Bible. Who spoke to the nation of Israel. Who spoke on behalf of God. Kings consulted them sometimes. God would speak to a man or a woman, a prophet of God, and they would go to the nation and say, this is what God says. This is what God is saying to you. In this particular case, God wants to speak to shepherds, and he doesn't send a man, and he doesn't speak loudly. He sends an angel. He sends a messenger. And the first feeling there that you have is the messenger of joy. The messenger of joy. I want you to write that down. I want you to just notice that God was going to speak a message of joy to the people, but he chose an angelic messenger to get there. Sometimes before you and I can receive a message, we have to be willing to receive the messenger. And we're going to talk about their reaction here in a second, but this is a messenger from God. Could it be that during this Christmas season, God wants to give you a message that really matters through a messenger of his choosing, through a means of his choosing? Are you ready to receive what the messenger has to say? Amen? So my prayer for you and for me is that during this Christmas season, God, we're open to receive your message. And whoever you want to send, sometimes God will send a person. Sometimes God will, I shared in the previous service, sometimes I'll be hearing a song on the radio, and it will touch my heart, and it will minister to me, and it will speak life into me. God can use different ways to remind me that he's got a message of joy waiting for me. The second thing, so the first one is the messenger of joy. The second thing is very interesting. It says, the angel said to them, and the first thing that the angel says to the people is, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. It's an interesting way to greet people. Throughout the New Testament, and even in this book, an angel has appeared to Mary and appeared to a guy named Zechariah already, and almost every time that the angel shows up, the first thing that he says is, do not be afraid. So we have the messenger of joy. The second one is the obstacle of joy. The obstacle of joy. Sometimes God has a message of joy for you, but there are obstacles that stand in the way of what God wants to do. And so the angel knew that fear would be an obstacle for the shepherds. And so right off the bat, before he says anything else, he simply says, hey, this is an angel from God. Do not be afraid. And I confess to you, as I confess to you in the early service, that oftentimes God wants to speak a message to me, and I don't receive it well because I'm too overcome by my fears. I am afraid. I am insecure. I lack confidence. I'm afraid of what I've done. I'm afraid of messing up. I'm afraid of doing what God is saying for me to do. And the word that I need to hear from the angel, and maybe you need to hear it too, is do not be afraid. Many dreams go unfulfilled because of fear. Many dreams that God wants to do great things through your life, through your family, they go unfulfilled. I know some men who are so emotionally closed off that even though God's been telling them, I want you to talk to your kids honestly. I want you to ask for forgiveness from your kids for something that you did. I want you to be honest with your spouse. I want you to connect with them emotionally. They are so afraid that they just run away and they can't deal with it.
The angel said to these shepherds, do not be afraid. I think that God during this season wants to infuse you and me with courage.
Everyone say courage.
We need courage, don't we? And sometimes it's not courage to fight the giants, even though there are many giants in our life. Sometimes it's the courage to get over our fears. It's the courage to say, I've messed up in the past, but with God, all things are possible. It's the courage to stop thinking, every time this happens, I always do the same thing. I always run to my addiction. I always run to this destructive relationship. I always scream at my children. I always do this. No, no, the angel says, do not be afraid. I have a different message for you. But it's going to require a little bit of courage. There's the messenger of joy. There's the obstacle of joy. And there's also the reason of joy. The third one is the reason of joy. The reason. The angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. The news that I'm going to give you is so powerful that it's going to cause an explosion of joy inside of you. It's nice that you get joyful about cutting down the tree with the family, but this is deeper than that. It's nice that you get joy if your team wins on Sunday afternoon, but this is deeper than that. It's nice if everything in your life is going well, but this is deeper than that. This is the joy, everyone say joy, that comes as a result of the good news from God, through his messenger, into your life and mine. Amen? Good news that will cause great, great joy. Pastor Rick Warren from Saddleback Church says this about joy. Joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life. It's the quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right. And the determined choice to praise God in every situation. The kind of joy that this good news will bring is something that is bigger than your circumstances. And it will cause you to be able to be joyful no matter where you are. There's a song, a gospel song that says, Jesus is the reason for the season. The reason of joy is Jesus the Christ. He proceeds to tell him, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. You've been reading about this from the Old Testament. Angels and prophets have been talking about it. And today in Bethlehem, this Messiah has been born. This is a reason for joy. I bring you good news. And can I just tell you that your joy and mine will be strong and everlasting as long as it's connected to the message of Jesus. If the message of Jesus is in your heart, in your mind, and in your life, then your joy will maintain even when you go through hard circumstances, even when things aren't going right. I'm not talking about being happy, happy, joy all the time. I'm not talking about that. Are you with me? That's fake and that's not real. I'm talking about even when I'm crying, even when I'm in pain, there's something inside of me that knows that God is with me and he will get me through no matter what. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He will take me to where I need to go. This message of joy is connected to Jesus. If you will listen to the message of God for you, it will cause joy in your life. Sometimes the problem is that we're listening to messages that are not and have nothing to do with Jesus. And we think that that message is what's going to get us through. Well, what are you doing? How should I do it? What about this? This is what you should give your life to. And we run around until eventually everything else has run out and we got nowhere else to go but to Jesus himself. messenger of joy, the obstacle of joy. Do not be afraid. The reason of joy, the reason is Jesus Christ. And finally, the audience of joy. The audience of joy. The scripture says that the angel came and said, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to who?
All the people.
To all the people. To all the people. It's interesting that in the scriptures, and even just a couple of chapters before this happens, an angel appears to a man named Zechariah, and he was an older man and a priest who had never been able to have babies with his wife. And an angel shows up and said, you are going to have a child, and this child will bring great joy to you. And I love it because Zechariah, even though he's older, but he's a Jewish man, a priest, he is qualified to receive joy from God. Amen? There's another scripture in the Bible that says that when the friends of Elizabeth and Zechariah, the neighbors, heard the good news about this child that they were going to have, that child for them was John the Baptist. If you're not sure about the history, read the beginning of the book of Luke. It tells the history of a man named John the Baptist, how he was conceived and came into being. He was the predecessor of Jesus. John the Baptist was the one who said, Jesus is coming, everyone get ready for him. Zechariah and Elizabeth had that child. The neighbors, the Bible says, shared their joy. The scripture says that they share their joy. Listen, joy can be contagious. Do you know that pessimism and complaining and anger and depression can be contagious too? And we don't want to be men and women here at Heart and Soul that are spreading that. We want to spread the joy from the Lord. We want to tell about the good things that the Lord has done. The psalmist says, come magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. That's something about coming together in joy. There's another wonderful scripture that says when Elizabeth was pregnant, she was, I forget how many months. I should know, right, as a pastor. I'm working on memorizing the scriptures, but I'm not there yet. Right? But it was quite a few months. Let's say 3, 4, 5, maybe 6 months or so. And the Bible says that Mary, who was the mother of Jesus, she had just gotten pregnant, not too long before. She's like, Mary was just starting in pregnancy. Elizabeth had been pregnant for a while. And the Bible says that when Mary came to visit Elizabeth, here's what Elizabeth said. It's an amazing thing. As soon as you walked in, the baby inside of me leaped for
joy.
Isn't it cool that babies can leap for joy? I told the early service that sometimes I get next to Amy. My wife is pregnant. We're expecting a baby in February. We're really excited about it. By the way, when I first heard the news that we were going to have a baby, I was like, hallelujah. Right? I had joy because babies and new life bring joy. And every once in a while, I'll stand next to mommy's belly and I'll say, hey, Samuel, it's daddy. You ever talk to a stomach? It's a different kind of thing, right? But it's not weird because there's a baby inside. And I want that baby to, when he hears daddy's voice, I want him to experience a little bit of joy. So that when he's born and he hears my voice again, I want to, hey, I know that voice. Joy. The Bible says that John the Baptist, when Mary came into the room, he leaped for joy. Babies can leap for joy. Can I just say something, by the way? I didn't say this in the early service. I'll just say it very quickly. Some people say, where does life begin? And I just want to say this very, very, very quickly. John the Baptist was inside mama's belly, and the Bible says that when Jesus' mom walked in, that baby leaped for joy. I am troubled by questions of what makes a baby a human being or not. It's not a political thing. It's a Luke thing. The baby leapt for joy. Amen?
Amen.
So Zechariah was joyful. The baby inside of Elizabeth was joyful. The neighbors were joyful. And now this angel shows up to the shepherds and tells them, I bring you, don't be afraid, I bring you good news that will be a great joy to who? To all the people. Here's the deal. You qualify as all the people. I qualify as all the people. Hallelujah. we can experience joy. The reason for our joy is Jesus Christ. So we have the messenger of joy, obstacles. We have the reason of joy. And we have the audience of joy. And you and I are part of that. Amen? This Christmas season, we can experience that. There's a couple of things there that I put YBH, which for me just reminds me to just share a couple of thoughts on yes, but how. Yes, but how? How will this work? How can we get through this? And I'll just tell you very quickly. Remember that joy overcomes fear. That's a fill-in right here. Remember that joy overcomes fear. And it's important for you to remember that, especially during this season where sometimes we get tight and feel like, what's going on? I'm not as happy as the people on TV. FYI, the people on TV, they're not happy either. They're just playing a role, right? FYI, the people on Facebook, you could be having the fight of your life at home. No, stop that. You know, you could be out in the park yelling at the kids. Why are you doing this? I'm so frustrated. I'm so upset. Wait a second. Let's take a picture. Everybody's going to click. That's what we put on Facebook, right? And man, your life is good. They got joy. No, they don't. It's just pretend. Remember that joy overcomes fear. Remember, it's the good news. It's the next part. It's the good news of Jesus that brings you true joy. Finally, remember that joy is available to you today. Today, joy is available to you.